Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to another segment of Arise and Shine to Pray. I am your host, Pastor Siobhan Simmons, and tonight we're going to talk about what does it mean to be holy. I bless God for tonight, and especially for this opportunity to discuss something that seems to be on everyone's mind. I've heard people say that it's hard to live a holy life, but what are the requirements to live holy in an unholy world? First of all, what is holy? Holy is just a way of living. It's not a denomination. I know there's the holiness denomination, the Pentecostal, the Baptist, non-denominational, but holiness is a way of living. It's a type of lifestyle that we must have as we call ourselves Christians. Holy means turning away from the things that what the Bible says are not clean. If we look at Leviticus, the 10th chapter, the 10th verse, Leviticus, the 10th chapter, the 10th verse, and it reads, "And they, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean." So there are certain things that the Lord considers to be clean, holy, and there are things that he considers to be unclean, unholy. Leviticus, the 19th chapter, gives us what they consider daily life lessons, things that we need to practice. If we look at the second chapter, Leviticus, the 19th chapter, the second verse, it says, "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." If we are the image of God, then we should take on all his attributes, one being holy. He's holy, therefore we shall be holy. And he gives us commandments in which we should live. If we go on down to verse number 4, it says, turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourself gods. I am the Lord your God. Oftentimes when we think of idols, we think of statues, we think of figurines, but idols are anything that interrupts or interferes with your desire to go forward with the Lord. If you know you should be reading your word, which is the Bible, or you should be in prayer, but you take that time to perhaps play solitary on the computer or to wash your car or do other things that take away from the Lord, then those things have become your idol for that minute, for that second. So when he says to turn away from idols, we need to make sure that God is our first priority, that we put him first in everything that we do. Amen. If we look on down to verse number 5, it says, and if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord, ye shall offer that own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the same morrow. And if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. Now, sacrifices, I know people are going to say, well, we don't do sacrifices anymore. The Bible says that we should present ourselves a living sacrifice unto him. So the things that we do that we're sacrificing to him, is it really clean? When we are offering our sacrifices of praise, are our praise clean? Is our praise holy? So what am I talking about? When you're praising the Lord, are you doing it because you desire to do it, or is it a routine? Are you praising the Lord because you know he deserves the praise, or are you just doing it because, well, I'm told I'm supposed to do it and you know everybody else is doing it, so I'm doing it? Well, then your sacrifice of praise does not become clean. It becomes contaminated because, one, there are stipulations that have been attached to it. We must be very, very careful. It's the little things that we don't think about that will contaminate us. If we go on to verse 8, we're in Leviticus 19th chapter. It says, verse 7. It says, and if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. Verse 8, therefore every one that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 9, and when ye reap the harvest of your hand, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of the harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Look at verse 8. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Now, stealing consists of a whole lot of things. Stealing could be stealing if you're working and if you're working on your job and you're supposed to be, let's just say, checking out a customer, but instead of checking out the customer, you're typing a text message. Well, you have stolen time from your boss. You've stopped doing what you're paid to do or what you're supposed to be doing, and you've decided to do something else. You could also be stealing time away from God. If you promise him that at 6:45 a.m. or 6:45 p.m., I am going to be studying the word, and you decide that you wanted to eat dinner or breakfast instead, well, now you're stealing time that you have set aside for the Lord. And we know that if you take something that does not belong to you, then that is stealing. And it also says that you should not deal falsely. Well, what is Well, if your intention is one thing and you do something else, then you're dealing falsely. If you know that if you say, meet me at the mall at 4 o'clock, and you're not going to be there until 4:45 because you want to get your nails done or you want to make another stop, then you have dealt falsely because you knew from the beginning that you weren't going to be there. Neither lie one to another. Well, let's go back to the mall trip. You say, I'll be there at 4 o'clock. You show up at 4:45. If we don't say, if it's the Lord's will, then we have really told a lie because we don't know what's going to happen between now and the time that we meet. And everything really is according to God's will. If we look at verse 12, it says, and ye shall not swear by thy name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Well, we know that we should not swear at all. And then we should not deal falsely with one another. We should profane. We should not use the name in vain. 14 says, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him the wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. Verse 15 says, ye shall not do unrighteousness. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. That's a mouthful. God is telling us how to live holy. And it's not really hard if we follow the word. Now, we're going to go back and elaborate on these points. I just want to get through the reading. And verse 16 says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer. Now, talebearer is one that always has something to say, always have a story. We would call that person the town gossiper, or the neighborhood watch person who knows the comings and goings of everybody and always knows everybody's story, but yet can't tell it correctly. Talebearers. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not revenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Then he says in verse 19, ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not, ye shall keep my statutes. We're going to end it right there. And then we're going to go back and elaborate on several of the points. How do you live holy? Really, it's not difficult. It's really following the word of God. It's getting the understanding of what I can and cannot do. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, they're the same person. And I need to preference and say it's not a thing. He is a living person that lives and abides within us. He will touch our hearts. He will give us signs to let us know when we're not doing the right thing. We know how it feels to be hurt. We know how it feels if someone hurts us or falsely accuses us of things that we have not done. And so being holy means doing just the opposite. It's not falsely accusing people. It's not putting stumbling blocks in people's pathway. If you know you're able to help a person, then you do that. The Bible says whatever you can put your hand on, you do. Whatever you can do and I'm paraphrasing, whatever you can do with your hands, you do it. So if you're able to help someone that they won't stumble, then you do that. You don't want to defraud your neighbor. You don't want to take from them what is rightfully theirs. You don't want to be that hindrance. You want to live with your neighbor in peace. Therefore, whatever you can do to help that person, then you do it. Also, the Bible tells us that we shall not curse one another. And cursing someone is not saying the derogatory words, but also you can curse a person by speaking negative about them. If you see someone trying their best, and instead of criticizing, encourage. Or if you see where you can help that person to get to that other level or to improve a task, then you do it, but you do it in love. Because you must remember, the shoe can be on the other foot, and it can, and that foot can be yours. So you want to make sure that you're doing everything that is righteous and pleasing in the sight of the Lord. He also talks about honoring those that we think are more respected than others. The Bible tells us that he is not, and when I say he, the Lord is not a respected person. What he does for one, he will do for another. If you think about it, when the rain falls on the earth, it just doesn't fall on the righteous. It falls on the unjust as well. So what the Lord is saying is that don't look at a person and decide who is more mightier than the other. Who do you think is more worthy of your attention? The Lord is saying treat everyone equal. Treat them all equal because he treats us equally. He doesn't give one gift to a person because they're taller than you or shorter than you. No, that's not God. He tells us that we should be holy without blame. We must know that there is a difference between holy and unholy. So we can't say that we don't know because we're being taught the Word of God. Now, if you Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 27th verse, Ephesians is in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, 27th verse. It says that he might present it to, well, let's go, I sanctify and cleanse it of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Don't you know that God is looking for holy? He's looking for a people that is holy, a people that is righteous, a people that is walking according to the Word of God, not just speaking the Word, but living the Word as well. God paid a price for us. He died on the cross that we may have a chance at eternal life. His blood was shed for us for the remission of sin. See, we are no longer slaves to sin, so we can live holy in an unholy world. We must follow the commandments of the Lord. He came to this earth to give us living proof of how we can walk this walk. The Bible tells us that the Lord is coming back for a bride that is without spot or wrinkle. In other words, he's coming back for a holy bride. Years ago, the Lord gave me this analogy. When we look at the word holy, H-O-L-Y, the O is circular. It's a circle. It's a complete. And he says, when you are holy, you're complete. What does that mean? Sin has no way of entering in if you are holy. Now, there are temptations, and we only fall into sin when we yield to the temptation. It's not the temptation that's a sin, it's our yielding to the temptation which causes us to sin. So if we really want to live holy, and I'm telling you, every day God gives us new mercy because he knows every day there's always going to be temptation. And so every day we strive to live holy. And when we mess up, you know what? All we have to do is repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my shortcoming. Forgive me, Father, for what I have just done. Keep me, Father, so that I can be holy before you, because you are holy. If you desire prayer, I ask that you would email us at ariseandshine08@yahoo.com. We're more than happy, the prayer warriors and the intercessors, to pray and intercede on your behalf. And until the next time, we're going to have a continuation of living holy in an unholy world. We can't do it in the time that's allotted. But I bless God for this opportunity. I hope you got something out of it, something that you can take, something that you can use, because God desires us to live holy, to live righteous and upright before him. He desires us to be the light of the world so that men will be drawn unto him. And the thing that I love about the Lord is that every day brings new mercy and grace. Every day brings new mercy and grace. Until the next time, God loves you and he makes no mistake. Remember that you're fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. God bless.